Hi, I'm Jose Marie Macedu, a partner at Delphi Digital. I'll be co-hosting episodes of the Delphi podcast with a broad focus on economics, governance, and incentives. With our guests, I'll explore different, sometimes radical, economic perspectives and how these affect what we value as a society and how we organize ourselves to achieve it. Ultimately, my goal with these conversations is to expand our perspectives in ways that allow us to build better systems going forward. As a reminder, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I or Delphi Ventures may hold tokens mentioned on this podcast, and you can see our show notes for a full disclaimer. First, a quick word from our sponsors before we dive in. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Jan Lieberman, as we speak to Azim and Robert from Armor Finance. Armor is a smart insurance aggregator for DeFi, seeking to make DeFi safer by streamlining the insurance user experience. They provide a pay-as-you-go and only pay what you owe coverage for users across various protocols, starting with the majors but expanding coverage over time. We see them as the insurance distribution layer on top of the underwriting layer provided by Nexus Mutual and others, similar to insurance brokers in the real world. Armor just launched their first products and yield farming initiatives this weekend, and so we take this opportunity to dig into what Armor is and their future plans. We hope you enjoy this conversation. As a disclaimer, Delphi Ventures is an investor in both Nexus Mutual and Armor. Nothing in this podcast is investment advice. All right. Thanks very much for being here, Azim and Robert.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Could you give us some quick background on who you are and how you got here, how you found crypto?
Sure. So I'm a lifelong entrepreneur, just bootstrapping businesses since quite a young age. And I've developed an expertise in product development, growth, and cash flow for e-commerce and software businesses. And so I'm most comfortable running entirely remote, globally distributed teams with lean yet effective infrastructure and operations.
Awesome. What about you, Robert?
I have a background in entrepreneurship to some degree, pretty good background in crypto at this point. Got into the space in around 2011. Been interested since then, since 2017. I guess I've been doing Ethereum development full-time. Worked with a bunch of different companies, ICOs, random contracting work. Got specifically into security research for a while, doing bug bounties. Most recently was making a smart contract security monitoring company.
And also, Robert recently won the Solidity's 2020 contest. So he won the first place, which was very impressive.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah, congrats there.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, that's interesting. And could you tell us a little bit about what Armor is, why you started it, and what problem you're trying to solve?
Sure. So Armor started because as a highly active user of the best DeFi products and protocols with an interest in covering my assets against smart contract risks, the solutions at the time were a bit too involved despite the innovations that were being produced. So I knew that I didn't want to actively have to manage my coverage. I just wanted to just pay for it and not thinking about it anymore. And through research, I noticed a number of unproductively deployed assets solving pieces of the puzzle with respect to insurance solutions for the marketplace. They were solving these pieces individually, and I noticed that they could potentially be combined into the ideal user experience to the best of its ability today and integrated henceforth into tools that users already use to minimize the friction and maximize reach of these insurance solutions.
And just in terms of, you know, what do you think some of the largest pain points that existed and kind of how are you guys going about addressing them?
Ultimately, a user who wants coverage for their assets should not have to think about it. They should just, you know, it should be one step for them to know that their assets are covered against smart contract risks. And so that was the end user experience I wanted to design. And all the other complexity that would deliver that end experience that experience to the end user should be abstracted away and effectively hidden under the hood of the system. So what might for the user be a one-click or a one-step experience to cover all the assets may be quite complex. And it's our responsibility to make that an easy and simple experience for the end user.
And not to mention, even further than just convenience, there's a lot of extra money being spent by people who buy a year of coverage at this much Ether and then don't end up using that much Ether or coverage for that long. So with Armor, you pay as you go and only pay for exactly what you need covered. And that could save users money in addition to just being much more convenient for them.
Yeah, this is a huge use case for us and something we've kind of been harping on for a while. You know, like the DeFi UX, as a user, you know, most users don't know where their capital is going to be like next week, let alone sort of next month or next year. So, you know, I think in a user experience like this where you pay as you go and it's streamed cover and, you know, no KYC, et cetera, kind of streamlines that quite a lot.
Yeah, this is actually a very important point because Armor will often save users a lot of money by preventing this wasted time and expenditure around their coverage. And in a space as dynamic and fast moving as DeFi, where opportunities arise all the time, you might have your Ether in one lending platform and then another opportunity comes up, you want to move it somewhere else, or maybe you take it out and you want to LP to Uniswap or SushiSwap or something else entirely, right? Or you want to take your dollars and you put them into Curve and LP as with stablecoins, et cetera, et cetera. There are all these things that have a high variance in their returns for users or in their utilities. So the insurance solutions that are available in the space, they need to be able to match and keep up with that kind of pace.
For sure. Yeah. And obviously right now that's not the case, right? You have to like manage your expiries and then you have to try and sell it if you can and probably not, and just end up not using it. So exactly. Could you talk a bit about what the UX is going to be like for both a supply side user and kind of a demand side user, just to give an idea for people what they can expect the product to look like?
Sure. So on the supply side, we have developed two core products. We have an RNXM vault with the RNXM token, which is a yield-bearing vault token. Users would be able to deposit their WNXM or NXM tokens from Nexus Mutual, which represent, I believe, essentially they represent a share of the capital pool that Nexus Mutual has, which is denominated in Ether. And so that capital pool is used to provide coverage to whatever protocols users want their coverage on. So Armor takes these tokens, unwraps them, sticks them into Nexus Mutual to expand the cover capacity, and then automatically manages the staking, unstaking, restaking, and allocation of coverage capacity to protocols where the demand is there or the capacity is there for yield to be sustainably generated. And so the user, in return for depositing the NXM tokens, receive the RNXM yield-bearing token. So the RNXM token is meant to be a complete replacement for WNXM or unutilized NXM on the market, so that they're all productively deployed and generating a return for users. And the RNXM token will accrue value over time through the activities of the vault. So this becomes a streamlined and permissionless way for users to use the Nexus Mutual platform to earn a yield by providing coverage to the end users of the Armor protocol who want coverage while also helping expand capacity. And ultimately, our goal is to expand the reach of DeFi as a whole by helping users have this experience where they can feel protected and that their assets are safe from smart contract risks. That's one product, by the way. Then we have the... do you have any questions about that, by the way? I'm more than happy to elaborate, or we can move on.
Yeah, and just like I think it, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And one aspect I was hoping to get a bit of clarity on is kind of the decision-making process going forward. I know you guys mentioned that you have some names that you're going to be staking to original, kind of, you know, some of the more well-known blue chip contracts. So I was wondering, you know, how the decision-making process going forward and kind of how that's expected to play out.
Sure. So we're starting with the capacity being increased across 10 of the biggest DeFi protocols, simply because nothing exists that is able to serve that capacity today. And so these protocols are Uniswap, SushiSwap, Badger, Aave, Compound, MakerDAO, Curve, Yearn, Balancer, and RenVM. So we're focused on this at the moment with the V1 product suite. And then V2, which is coming in 2 or 3 months, will implement a more complex staking pattern, which would allow coverage expansion to smaller protocols, depending on demand. And the DAO would be deciding what the allocation looks like. And there have been some great suggestions so far in the community.
And we're actually, running into a very good problem right now. Because our contract is staking so much in Nexus, there's a point where it won't actually end up adding coverage. Right now, we're having to figure out, how to add stake to different contracts as opposed to the ones we've already added to. We're not expecting it, but we have to switch that around because there's been too much staked in ARNXM right now.
Makes sense. And Azeem, I know you were going to run through the rest of the products. Do you want to keep doing that, kind of going through?
Absolutely.
Nice.
So the next product, and these are all things that are being released over the next 3 to 4 weeks, by the way. This is why, you know, it's such a complex and deeply thought through system that it requires us to phase the rollout into these four phases that I'm describing. We have four phases for the rollout. However, I'm just describing each product to you one by one. Okay. So the next product is the RNFT, which is an NFT wrapper for tokenized Nexus Mutual coverage. So what people are able to do is, when we expand the coverage capacity in Nexus Mutual, the Nexus Mutual system is set up so that the premiums that are required to be paid for the coverage are paid upfront for whatever the period is. So we're able to tokenize that coverage and then allow users to mint the coverage. So they pay the premiums to Nexus Mutual, and then they take the tokens and they deposit it into our NFT staking pool, where then our system, the protocol, will broker it through to end users in the smart cover system and the shield or the armored vaults. Okay, so what we're doing is we're innovating on the level of somebody else effectively pays for the coverage to Nexus Mutual with respect to the premiums, and then they have an opportunity to earn a yield on top of that by having it then brokered through us. And this is an important point because ultimately the other blue chip DeFi protocols such as Uniswap, SushiSwap, Compound, Aave, Curve, and Synthetics, they achieve their goals through the creation of permissionless pooled resource markets that are powered with decentralized governance. And so we recognize that asset coverage is a quite complex problem, and it requires a dynamic and adaptable approach to connect coverage capacity with user demand. And effectively, you know, the two key constraints that we're solving here with these products that I'm about to describe to you, they are, you know, coverage capacity and coverage demand, right? Neither of which can actually sustainably increase without the other. So considering the complexity of considering the complexity involved, Armor is effectively willing to work with any competitive insurance innovations with a suitable level of quality, and will be able to aggregate and bring to market a pooled and permissionless solution that will be powered with, you know, simple and easy user experiences. So this is important to understand because we're effectively building streamlined paths and less friction on the demand and the supply side. So now that that's covered, I would like to explain the demand side solutions for end users. If you have other questions, first of all, you're welcome to put them forth.
No, that was great.
No, I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah, I would love to hear the demand side solutions you were going to describe.
Great. So the first product on the demand side is the smart cover system. What it is a dynamic dashboard that will automatically track your assets as they are moving around various protocols, and it allows you to receive a quote based on a combination of the assets that you have. We'll be able to match it to the coverage capacity available within our pools and recommend you a combination of coverage, which you can then approve with one transaction, and it will then start automatically billing you. Effectively, it's an on-demand pay-as-you-go coverage solution for end users. So, you know, like I said, you approve it one time and that's it. It will just automatically stream your billing by the second according to whatever the quoted coverage quote is. So based on the combination of your assets. So initially, it's launching on the Armor website, on the Armor dApp, and this allows permissionless access and no need to prepay for more clunky solutions with fixed durations and fixed protocol exposure. It's simply streamed based on the length of coverage you need, based on whatever your asset combination or your portfolio looks like at the time. And once we've kind of refined the experience on the dApp, our number one priority is to integrate it with other dashboard solutions for users already in the market, where users are already comfortable using those products. So for example, you know, you have Zapper, you have Dbank, you also have Zerion. We would seek to integrate with them along with any other solutions that appear during this time. So that's the smart cover system. Any questions about that before I describe the Armored Vaults?
Just a quick question there. Nexus Mutual is the one who underwrites a lot of the risk, and all the risk effectively. I was wondering how the claims process would play out for users that have, you know, an event that they think would grant them payback for the cover they purchased.
Yeah, I can explain that if you guys can hear me.
So first, if a hack happens,
the DAO would have to vote on a hack happening on a certain protocol at a certain time. Once that happens, the NFTs will be submitted to Nexus, and if they're approved, users can just simply click the claim button and they'll be sent back funds. So all users really have to do is click the claim button next to their coverage.
Got it.
Yeah, go ahead, Azeem. On the Armored Vaults, I think would be cool to hear about that now.
Great. So what we've developed are Armored Vaults. What these are, if you look at the dashboards on Uniswap Info or SushiSwap's website, or you know, Balancer has Pools Vision, there's a number of things out there. So what it will usually show you is, based on the trading volume, you're able to generate fees from the transactions. Right, and these fees are paid out to the liquidity providers to these pools. So what we've discovered is, since the return on these liquidity provision opportunities for asset owners are, you know, quite good, they're in fact high enough to be able to offer a unique solution, which is the Armored Vault. With the Armored Vault, you'd be able to deposit your LP tokens for, you know, a variety of protocols. I described to you earlier, you know, we're covering stuff like Uniswap, SushiSwap, Badger, Aave, Compound, MakerDAO, Curve, Yearn Balancer, and RenVM. Now, I'm not saying we'll be able to cover all of that on day one. However, you would eventually be able to deposit your LP tokens. And what it will do is, since you're generating yield from the transaction fees, the protocol, when your LP tokens are deposited in the vault, it will bill your LP tokens for the premium required to pay for your coverage that you need. So it will demand no money up front. It will demand no deposits. It will simply hold your LP tokens and bill that directly without requiring you to manage it beyond that. So it's an extremely simple experience for users who want exposure to liquidity provision opportunities, while also ensuring that their assets are automatically covered. And I have a strong hunch that this is going to gain the biggest adoption in the space with respect to insurance products. And so with the smart cover system and the Armored Vaults, I believe, you know, we are able to cover the widest space with respect to where users are and where the opportunities are to provide coverage to users. And you know, of course, as we release these products, as we test them with end users, and as we receive feedback, we notice opportunities, we develop insights, and using that, we focus on rapidly continuing to innovate and expand the reach that we have with our products over time.
That's really cool. Yeah, and I mean, with those Armored Vaults and the kind of insured LP shares, do you see those becoming kind of, you know, prime DeFi collateral? You know, in this era of like smart assets, do you see these kind of insured LP shares eventually being, you know, something that you can get leverage on and incorporated into other protocols?
Ideally, yes.
Yeah, that's fair. And in terms of, like, how should people think about you? I've heard you refer to as kind of an insurance aggregator. Is there an equivalent kind of in the real world? Because obviously you're not doing the underwriting yourselves. You're not like an insurance protocol. You're not kind of competing with Nexus. How would you say the best way for people to think about you is?
Sure. So actually, the rather than the physical world, I believe the best comparison for Armor would be the other blue chip DeFi protocols such as Uniswap, SushiSwap, Compound, Aave, Curve, Synthetics, and you know some others who achieve their goals through the creation of permissionless pooled resource markets powered with decentralized governance. So at launch, Armor is a decentralized insurance brokerage, and you know with our and we have a strong focus on collaboration over competition. And the reason why is because we recognize that asset coverage is a quite complex problem and it requires a dynamic and adaptable approach to connect coverage capacity with user demand. And you know the two key constraints for insurance products, so coverage capacity and user demand are the two key constraints for insurance products to reach a wider market. And neither of these can actually sustainably increase without the other. And this is why Armor will work with any competitive insurance innovations with a suitable level of quality to aggregate and bring to market these pooled and permissionless solutions powered with simple and easy user experiences, which abstract the complexity under the hood to fill unmet demand with respect to buyers who require coverage. And you know, right now we're built entirely on coverage. And of course, you know, we do plan to integrate any other solutions that are appropriate. So you may ask, you know, what other projects we may look to integrate next as an insurance aggregator. However, at this time, nothing else is as well developed enough to be competitive at all with Nexus Mutual. So that's where we are at the moment.
That makes sense. Yeah, that was my next question. And do you think it's possible that you'll ever integrate with kind of centralized insurance solutions as well? Or would they have to, I guess, tokenize and be in some sense trustless?
Well, yes, you know, I am discreetly watching a few projects aiming to bridge this as they develop. It could definitely be a solid opportunity to open up capacity. And of course, wherever they falter, we'll seek to provide value by unlocking and streamlining the experience for end users.
And we also talk to that, essentially. Our main mission is to make investing in DeFi as safe as possible. So we want to do anything to make that happen, whether it's directly insurance or not in the future.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. And now that we've kind of gone through the products and some of the vision, we'd love to hear more about the Armor token and kind of, you know, how it's integrated and how it captures value.
Sure. So with respect to how Armor captures value, you know, look, to solve this complex space, several loops have to be architected, built, and effectively solved around increasing capacity and then generating demand to fill the capacity sustainably, which is a real issue with insurance products. So Armor first creates value that did not already exist with resources and assets that were otherwise unproductively deployed. And then Armor, of course, the DAO, seeks to accrue a management or a brokerage fee depending on what the activity is with respect to the product lines in play. And these may range from 2.5 to 20%, depending on the situation. And of course, this is all subject to governance through the DAO.
Got it. And so what are the, I guess, initial release plans and kind of how are you targeting incentives to help bootstrapping the liquidity in terms of the NFTs and just the user base in general?
Well, that is that's actually really quite complex, and I might end up going on for half an hour. So you know, we've definitely got a lot of material that people can read about that, and ultimately, over time, I think what's important to think about is that over time we will develop a number of moats and network effects, and this is done through the production of growth loops that solve the two key constraints that we previously mentioned. And so these will be developed and tested using appropriately adjusted token incentives to discover and refine the experience for network participants on both the demand and the supply side. And so this is really subject to whatever the situation demands and or shows us, and based on the experimentation and the results and the insights that we glean from the results, we'll be able to refine this over time so that eventually, and what's really important is eventually we'd be able to scale the right combination of the product suite without requiring token incentives for end users so that it would be able to sustain itself.
That's fair. And what's the premium on the value capture starting at right now? And how do you see that, I guess, like what do you see that as being sustainable in the long term in terms of your like long-term pricing power?
Okay, well, with respect to pricing power, while it matters, the focus is really on the two key constraints, which are coverage capacity and coverage demand. And wherever there is an effective opportunity to bridge the two constraints together to unlock value, we're going to be there. Okay, so you know, given the access that we have with respect to being able to leverage the resources that Nexus Mutual has already developed, and this is why I mentioned they are the most well-developed product in the space as an underwriter, we're not too concerned with this at the moment because we are going to continue working closely with them to develop the offering over time. So I believe that as long as we really stick to our strengths, and you know, considering Armor is already the largest staker of NXM with Nexus Mutual by far, we have the opportunity to collaborate and develop superior solutions over time. And this is all thanks to what I consider really amazing about DeFi, which are the opportunities for composability, and this is incredible at unlocking value for users. So as time passes, we will continually seek to increase the value for users, whether it's pricing power or user experience or whatever it takes to bridge the gap between coverage capacity and coverage demand.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's kind of whenever there's a mismatch between cover capacity and cover demand, you see yourselves as kind of coming in and being able to bridge that or to link one up with the other.
Exactly.
Have you thought about, I guess this kind of plays into your experience with entrepreneurship and with growth, but have you thought about kind of the cost of customer acquisition there? I know initially there's a lot of low hanging fruit in terms of kind of integrating with protocols and stuff like that. And that's the majority, I guess, of the business development work you'll be doing, or is there something else?
Well, this is actually quite an interesting topic because I've given this a lot of thought in recent months. In that, I've noticed that in non-crypto or non-DeFi in the non-crypto or non-DeFi space, a lot of products effectively have to pay rent to Google and Facebook, for example, for access to customers. Okay. Whether it's Google and Facebook or you know, traditional advertising mediums, most of the money goes into that, and then hopefully they make a profit on the margin between the revenue and the situation where the majority of their expenditure is on marketing and advertising. So what I've noticed here in this space is that tokens that are distributed through these distribution events, they are effectively not paying rent to the middleman that may be Facebook and Google. Instead, they're paying the users directly. And if it's well designed, the system of token distribution can be used to train or educate users to use your product correctly. Because when a user sees a gain personally with respect to the participation with a product, then they will be motivated to figure things out. And of course, you know, every little helps in the user experience and the guides and everything that are offered, because you still need to maximize the conversion rate of viewers into actual participants in the protocol. However, you know, this is how I see it. This is still paid advertising or paid user acquisition, except that you're not paying Facebook or Google anymore. You're paying the user.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And so I guess you see yourselves as being or as facilitating that distribution platform for projects to pay their users, or where do you see your role there?
Right now, we're just experimenting.
That's fair. And in terms of decentralized insurance, right now it's primarily focused on smart contract insurance. How do you see this evolving? Have you seen any products that you like? I mean, there's been a few people experimenting with impermanent loss insurance. You know, there's economic risk insurance in terms of Aave. How are you seeing insurance progressing?
Sure. So as I mentioned, you know, wherever there is demand and supply, our key focus is on two topics, right? One is expanding the ability for DeFi as a whole to extend its width and depth in market reach. And the other is that in order to expand the reach of DeFi as a whole, there are two key constraints to solve with respect to insurance solutions, which are coverage demand and coverage supply. So as long as we stay focused on that and make sure that when we develop products, they are put out, they're optimized, and then they're also dedicated, assigned, you know, dedicated team members to continually maintain and test and improve them over time. The seed team that created what we have in front of us right now will be able to lift our heads up and look around and see what else is out there and see how else we can meet the requirements for these two key areas of focus, which are expanding DeFi through the expansion of constraints around coverage supply and coverage demand. Overall, it's actually quite simple when you think about it, because then we don't have to be attached to whatever the product is right now. We're always looking to how we can improve that for users on the supply and demand side over time.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, our core mission is to make investing in DeFi as safe as possible. So any insurance that's around will absolutely want to use. As long as it'll make things safer and as long as it'll make more people use DeFi.
Yep. As an aggregator, we'll find a way.
And just to kind of another question here. So I think your role, especially in terms of the synergies you provide to Nexus, are pretty clear with the fact that, you know, they're still getting the exact same, Nexus Mutual, that Mutual is receiving the exact same fees it would normally receive if it sold the cover directly. And you know, the service that you're providing ends up being on top. And so in that sense, you guys are very synergistic. Do you see yourselves ever going kind of lower down the stack into the underwriting arena, or do you think you'll mostly exist here?
Well, considering Armor is already the largest staker of NXM with Nexus Mutual, we technically already are underwriting risk through what I see as effectively a permissionless resource acquisition despite separate brands. And this is what I find amazing about DeFi, because this opportunity for composability and to deeply integrate within other resources that already exist in the space is incredible at enabling anybody to unlock value for users where there previously was not.
Got it. That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And do you see, I guess, eventually, even as insurance kind of spills into the real world, we're already kind of seeing that with Nexus in terms of offering centralized exchange, like custody insurance, and then eventually kind of real world insurance, like Armor kind of, you know, continuing to provide that role as like the distribution platform for Nexus and eventually for any others that launch?
Yes. So with respect to the custodial coverage, we haven't looked at that. However, we've definitely paid attention to the centralized exchange coverage because, for example, Coinbase and Binance, they have API access. So it would be an interesting experiment to allow users to connect to their accounts through Armor using the API. It should just be a one-click approval. And that way, Armor would be able to read the user's balances and just view them and based on that recommend, again, a combination of coverage. So it would effectively be an improvement to the smart cover system that we are already about to release.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And that's sort of the brilliant thing of being an aggregator is that we're not restricted to a certain protocol that may be able to ensure this, but not that we can just aggregate any protocol that would be able to ensure anything. So I envision ourselves being able to pretty much ensure anything that other DeFi companies can ensure.
Exactly. Again, always with the focus of making DeFi safer for users, and thereby, as a result, expanding the reach of DeFi as a whole, expanding the market.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And in terms of, like, what do we say is the biggest risk to Armor's vision? I mean, what are the things that keep you up at night that you most worry about?
Well, the nice thing is that things keep me up every night, and then the next day, we deal with it. So I think we're pretty good at that so far.
Nice.
For me, what I'm looking into, I don't know if I would say it keeps me up at night, But I do think the future of DeFi insurance is really protocols insuring their own users. And I think easy ways to do that, simple ways that protocols could actually manage to pay for, I think that's extremely important.
Yeah, we are exploring a few things that are very much in stealth mode at the moment. So we'll leave that there for the time being.
Got it. And just follow up slightly on that. So do you kind of expect in the long run for your primary user to be a protocol, or do you think end users will come to you guys directly? I guess the largest share of your...
We do have end users as recipients of, you know, the coverage. We also see protocols as recipients of coverage. Effectively, the end users would be very satisfied with the smart cover system. With respect to protocols, you know, initially we're starting with just users using the Armored Vaults directly. And then this is something that I would very much like to do, which is just allow protocols to directly integrate our Armored Vaults into their user interfaces. And that would effectively achieve that goal.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And particularly, you know, being able to leverage the dynamic terms that you guys have on your insurance, where the pay-as-you-go streaming model really enables that.
Exactly. And the sequence or the process of what this would look like would effectively, you know, be running these products on the Armor dApp and then integrating these experiences into dashboards. And then, you know, once we've covered that, then we can start on the path of integrating directly with the protocols too.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Well, we really appreciate your time. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to touch on?
I think this has been a very good discussion, and you know, again, I really appreciate you taking the opportunity. You're actually making the opportunity for me to answer you in the first place, because it's allowed me to clarify or solidify some important thoughts with respect to where Armor is and where it's going.
Awesome. Yeah, we really appreciate your time. And thanks very much for all the great answers, and best of luck with everything. Where can people follow you before we go?
You can just type armor.fi into your address bar and then scroll down to the footer to see where you can reach us.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.